Boker Tov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. We're now on Yevamot Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Bet, right in the middle of the Amud. Mitzri v'Adomi Enan Asurin. The Mishnah mentioned that a Mitzri and Adomi are only Asur to the third generation, both males and females equally. Rabbi Shimon, using evidently a Kal v'Chomer, said that the women should be mutar immediately, kal v'chomer from Anamoni and Muavi. When challenged, he said that he was reporting a tradition, not using the kal v'chomer. So let's see how this plays out. My tshuva, the Chachamim said that if you're using a kal v'chomer, we have a response, but they didn't say what the response was, what the block to the kal v'chomer was. Let's see, what is the block? Because you could have disproven it by saying, arayot is a challenge. Why? All arayot only go down three generations, woman's daughter and granddaughter. We've seen this many times in Yevamot. Echad zacharim, echad nekevot, and they're equal male or female. So mal arayot sheken karet. So Rabbi Shimon's answer could be, arayot, certainly men and women are equal because there's the severity of karet there. Mamzer yochiach, so mamzer can prove it, because after all, mamzerim are equal men and women all the way down. Mala mamzer shekein in orari levav kahal leolam, but a mamzer is always banned from the kahal, so there is another severity. In other words, mitzri and adomi are far lighter than either arayot or mamzer, because there's no karet involved, and because they at a third generation are certainly permitted. Good. Arayot yochichus. So we go back to arayot, which are not leolam, because after a third generation. V'chazar adin, lori zekiri zeh, v'lori zekiri zeh. In other words, neither aspect answers for both of them. Atzad ha-shav ha-shavayin, so what is the common denominator? Tra'asurin, chazarim v'chad nekevot. This seems to be overly simplistic, but there is an isur, and it applies equally to men and women. V'mal atzad ha-shav ha-shavayin, shekein yesh ben tzad karet. Think about it. Arayot and Mamzer have something in common that Mitzri and Adomi don't share, and that is karet. Mamzer is karet causally. What creates a Mamzer? A relationship which is one of karet. Arayot is characteristically karet, meaning the nature of the violation of Arayot is that it could carry karet with it. In many cases, it does. Now, that's Rabbi Shimon's answer. Rabbanan, how would the Rabbanan then counter that? Mechalal de chayve esech Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. If you recall, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was of the opinion that even chayve esech, meaning, for instance, a kohen who marries a be'ula, who is not an almana or a grusha, but she's a be'ula, which means it's chayve esech, nonetheless, the child is a chalal. So you see that even away from the area of karet, where there's no karet involved whatsoever, nonetheless, psulim are created. Good. So now, umay lo ki. So why did Rabbi Shimon answer lo ki ela halachani omer? Meaning, instead of just saying halachani omer, they said if it's a kal v'chomer, we can answer. If it's halacha, we'll accept it. He said no. Rather, it's a halacha. Why did he say that? Hachi kamarlu. What's buried in those words? He said as follows: Lididi lo svir lidu Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Me, I don't accept Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and I maintain that no psul can be created without karet, and therefore my kal v'chomer stands. But if you accept Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, halachani omer. I also happen to have a tradition that Mitzri and Adomi women are mutar miyad. Good. Tanya Ralan Rabbi Shimon. Now we have another version. Halachani omer. Ve'od mikra misayeni. So this is now another version of it where Rabbi Shimon is saying, I've got two arguments. One is, I have a tradition that says that that Mitzri and Adomi are mutar miyad. And second of all, I have a pasuk that supports me. Banim velo banot, because the pasuk says banim asher yivaldu lahem dor shlishi. Right, it's their sons that are born in the third generation of mutar. The banot are mutar miyad. Tanu rabanan. So now we have a brayta that addresses the same pasuk. Banim velo banot. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So you see, Rabbi Shimon says that. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Harei omer banim asher yivaldu lahem dor shlishi. Rabbi Yehuda says, look at the rest of the pasuk. It says sons that are born to them in the third generation. Hakatuv tla'an beleidat. Text associated with birth, and people give birth to both boys and girls. So it's not specifically sons. It's sons that are born to them. Meaning, anyone who's born to them, we have to wait till the third generation. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan made a comment about Rabbi Yehuda. Elam dam Rabbi Yehuda katuv lan beledai. If it weren't for Rabbi Yehuda associating the birthing process with the nature of the Isur and therefore the gender of the Isur, he would not have been able to find his way in the Beit HaMidrash, meaning that he would have run against a contradiction in his own teachings. Why? This is sugya again at the end of Kiddushin about the nature of the word kahal in all of these psulim. Does that mean that such a person may marry a ger or not? Rabbi Yehuda says they may not, because gerim are called kahal. Therefore, since Rabbi Yehuda holds that, mitzri sheni b'ma yithar, you could never have a mitzri sheni becoming clarified, becoming purified. Why? Because if everybody agrees that a mitzri, a male mitzri, who is a sheni, may not marry into the kahal, that means he also may not marry, according to you, a mitzri chnia, because she's part of the kahal. And therefore, he could never get clean. So Dilma Diyah Venasiv. So maybe the Torah is talking about a case where a fellow goes ahead and violates the law and marries a mitzri chnia in that scenario. No, the Torah never addresses that. The Torah doesn't address saying the third generation can marry in if they violated the law and did that. The Torah would not address it that way. Da'are mamzer di'i. Aye, mamzer is all the result of a sin, of somebody doing the wrong thing, and the Torah addresses it. Ktav ekra. So di'ili isur akatav. Yes, certainly the Torah will address, if somebody violates the law and creates an isur, the Torah will address that. Right? But the Torah is not going to address a situation where somebody violates the law and the result is actually a heter. This guy was not supposed to marry the mitzvah shnia in this theoretical construct. But if he does it, so the kid is a mitzvah shlishi and can marry in. The Torah is not going to address that. Arei machzir grushato, de'ila hetera. I put the pasuk on the page. After all, in the case of Machzir Grushato, when somebody divorces his wife, she marries someone else, and then that marriage is dissolved, and she returns to him, which is Aser, we say the children are kosher. Why? Because Toivah he velo baneha toivin. And there the Torah wrote it, so there the Torah wrote, if a fellow did something wrong, nonetheless, the result is heter. There the Torah had to write it because of the basic Isser. He Toivah. We infer from that, he velo abanim. Tan Rabbanan. Okay, so good. So now we've solved it, and we've said that it must be the case that a mitzvah shnia is mutter, because is aser, because otherwise, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, because otherwise a mitzri rishon could never marry a mitzri rishona, and because she's as prohibited as any other Jewish woman, and therefore you could never have a male mitzri get his seed cleaned up. There's no vehicle for doing that. And so therefore, it must be that Mitzrit and Mitzri are both equally usher in the first two generations, and that's how they're able to do it. Tan Rabbanan, Im Nemar Rabbanim, Lama Nemar Dorot, Im Nemar Dorot, Lama Nemar Rabbanim. We have a short series here of justifications for seemingly redundant phrases. It says, children that are born to them, the third generation, may marry. So why do you need both generations and children? Im Nemar Rabbanim, if it just said sons, without generations, I would think it means really sons, meaning a mitzri rishon has one son, two sons, a third son can marry in. That's why it says generations. It's not sons, it's generations of sons. And if it said the opposite, it just said generations. In other words, the third generation can marry in, but it doesn't say sons. In other words, it would have said, Dor shlishi asher yivaleh lahem, yavoleh mikal Hashem. I would think that from the moment the law was given in Har Sinai or Vot Moav or wherever, I would count three generations. And from then on in, we mutter, sort of like the Isser of girls who inherit marrying outside of their tribe, which was lifted at a certain point in time, and from then on was mutar. That's why it says banim. Good. Now, the other thing is, banim asher yivaldu lahem. What's the verse lahem mean, the word lahem? Mehem mene, meaning you count from them. You start counting from the convert, not from his son. So the convert is one, the child is two, the next, the grandson is already mutar. Lahem is also something else. Halech achar psulan. Because you see that the word lahem shows up twice in the pasuk. So take a look at the page. And therefore, lahem also means halech achar psulan. If you have, let's say, a mitzri rishon and a mitzri rishnia, then you say that the union is going to result in a sheni, not a shlishi. And you always look at the most illegitimate side of it. Yitzarach lemichtav lahem, yitzarach lemichtav asher yivaldu. And so now we need lahem, which tells us to follow from the convert. And asher yivaldu. Why diikah the rachman asher yivaldu? If it just said the ones that are born of them, I would think you start counting from the child. The Rahman Allahem. Therefore it says Lahem, you start counting from the convert himself. If it said Lahem, I would think that if a Mitzrit was pregnant and she converted, Chad, I would think that she and the child she's carrying are one. Therefore it says Yashay Valdu, meaning one that the one that she gives birth to is already the next generation. And by the way, the word lahem here, which says the second drasha, which is the psul goes follows the most illegitimate one, and you have the same word in mamzer, lo yavo lo bikal Hashem, and the word lo is used for the same drasha that if a mamzer marries a Yisraeli, the kid is a mamzer. Mamzer marries a Natin, the kid is a mamzer. In other words, it always follows the most psul. Why do you need them both? If it said it in the case of Mitzri and Edomi, I would say sure, because it comes from non-Jewish seed. Mamzer comes from a Jewish person, therefore I would think that they do not generate such a strong psul. And if it said it in the case of Mamzer, I would say sure, because he can never marry in. But in the case of Mitzri and Edomi, who can marry in the third generation, I would say that you do not generate the greatest psul possible. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, I need both lahem and lo. Now, Amar Rav Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, mitzri sheni shenasa mitzrit bishona. So you have a man who's a mitzri sheni, marries a woman who's a mitzri bishona. But not shlishi havai. The child is a shlishi, which means we're going to follow the man status. And we're going to go lakula. Alma kasav ratu didesha dinanle. So obviously we see that we follow him. Beitar Rav Yosef, we have a challenge. The famous statement of Rabbi Tarfon at the end of the third parakutushin. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yecholim Mamzerim Li Tahir. He had a solution for Mamzerim. What was it? It's a Mamzer Nasa Shifcha. Let the Mamzer go marry a Shifcha. Havlad Evet. The child is now an Evet. Shichron in Tzav Enchorin. And then if the master frees him, that kid is a Enchorin, is a regular Kashi Yisrael. Alma, and then the Chacham's response to Rabbi Tarfon was, yeah, the kid is an Evet Mamzer. Alma bata didesha dinaleso, but what does that mean? Didosha dinaleso. Obviously, that means that the status follows the mother, because the mother, who is a shifcha, not a mamzer, therefore determines the status of the child, at least according to Tarfon, as being not a mamzer. And the atom darakra yishavi ladati aladonav. This is something we've seen several times in the Masachet, that when it comes to avadim, they're totally connected to the mother, and the father has no connection at all, evad ein lo chayas. So therefore, the status determined by the mother. But that's not a general halacha that's unique to Avadim. Meitiv Rava Amr Biyuda min yomin ger mitzri eli chaver mitalmidei Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yehuda said, I had a friend who was a ger mitzri among the students of Rabbi Kiva. We used this in the last podcast to prove that the mitzrim were still considered genealogically mitzrim even till the times of the Tanoi. V'yamar ani mitzri rishon v'nasayti mitzri chni rishona. I'm a mitzri rishon and I married a mitzri rishona. I will take my son, who's a mitzri sheni, have him marry a mitzri chniya, so my grandson could marry in. Now, according to your position, that it follows the male, his son doesn't need to marry a mitzri chniya. His son could marry a mitzri rishona. And I would think we could conjecture that it's a lot easier to find a mitzri rishona than chniya. It's probably hard to maintain connection to the Kahal when you can't marry in for another generation. Right? So according to you, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it should be the case that Minyamin didn't need to find a Mitzri Chniya for his son. He could find a Mitzri Rishona, because as long as the son is a Sheni, the kid would be a Shlishi. Hamrler Rabbi Yochanan Latana. So Rabbi Yochanan, you're right, actually told the Tana, Tani Rishona. You should read, not that the Minyamin was looking for a Mitzri Chniya for his son, but even a Rishona would do. Rabbi Yochanan, Mitzri Sheni Shenasa Mitzri Rishona. Now we have another version. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Dimi reports what Rabbi Yochanan said, that if a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzri Rishona, b'na Sheni Havai. The opposite, that it follows the mother, and if the mother's a Rishona, then the child is a Sheni. Amavatar Ime Shadin Alay. We see a conflict in what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan reporting that it follows the father, Rav Dimi reporting that Rabbi Yochanan said it follows the mother. Me'abaye elaha de'ama Rabbi Yochanan nifrish chatat mu'beret v'yalda. We have this halacha Rabbi Yochanan said, let's say a person was chayiv chatat. He was mechal Shabbos. And he separated a lamb, kisba, or sira, a goat. Turned out she was pregnant. And she gave birth before shechita, in which she gave birth. You could use either animal for kapara, and the other one would obviously go lamita. So it must be, therefore, that the fetus is not considered part of the mother. Because that's why you could use either one, because it's like being mafrish shtei chataot l'achrayut, meaning, let's say you're chayv chatat, and you separate two animals as sort of a backup. Say, whichever one, if one of them gets lost, or dies, or becomes a treifa, I'll be able to use the other one. And that's the halacha. That if you separate two animals for a chatat, you can use either one, and the other one goes off and grazes until it becomes a balmum, etc. But if Rabbi Yochanan would hold that the fetus is really part of the animal, then this is a vlad chatat, which is one of the five chatat metot. Vlad chatat lemita azla. You have to send it off and kind of engineer it to die, which means there's no way you could bring it as a carbon. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that you could bring either the mother or the bay or the fetus? So the answer is ishti, right? So Rav Dimi was silent. Abaye challenged Rav Dimi and said, "You're right. Rabbi Yochanan really could not have said that the thing follows the mother. The child follows the mother because the child's really not part of the mother. Because if we consider a fetus to be part of the mother in the case of an animal, then you could not use the one that's born as the korban. And in the same way, if we say that the fetus of this mitzri is really separate from the mother, then it should follow the father's status." So Marley, so Abaye tried to help him out. He said, "Dilma shani hatam dirtiv asher yivaldu." Perhaps in the case of the mitzri, it's not the same. It says asher yivaldu akatuv tla'o b'leida. So Abaye said to Rav Dimi, maybe this is a way to answer to save your position. Is that in a normal case, the fetus is really not part of the mother, it's independent. But here, because the Torah said asher yivaldu, it really associates it with the mother. And Amarle, so what did Rav Dimi say to Abaye in Bavel? Karkafna, you bright guy, chazita the reshach beni amudi. I see that your head was between the amudim. In other words, you really caught on to you must have been there when we were studying. You really caught on to what was said. Ki am Rabbi Yochanan hashmata tamid ichtiva sheyivaldu. Actually, Rabbi Yochanan, when he said the halacha that I'm repeating, unlike Rabbi Barchana, that it follows the mother, he said the reason is because unlike most cases, here it says asher yivaldu. In a normal case, it would follow the father. So now we have a side question. If that's the case, how come if a non-Jewish woman is converting and she goes to the mikvah, she's pregnant, how come her child doesn't need tzvilah if we say that generally the fetus is not considered part of the mother? Famous halacha about chatzitza. As Rabbi Yitzchak says, the only thing that's considered a chatzitza is something that covers a majority of your body or majority of your hair, and it's something you care about, something you would not want to have there. If it's something that covers a majority of you, but you don't care about it, a light film of dirt you wouldn't care about, or something, then you're not makbid. And of course she's not makbid that her body's covering the child. She wants that there. But we comment on that and say that's only true if it covers most of you. But if the entire thing that's being nitpal is covered by something, then it is chotzeitz even if you don't care about it. Which means that the baby should not be considered to be nitpal, it's totally covered up. Shani ubar dahainu revite, so we say it's different that a fetus, that's its place of growth, that's where it belongs, in the womb. And so therefore, there's no chatzitza whatsoever. And so it's not because the fetus is part of the mother during the tefillah, but the fetus is being nitbal itself, in its own proper place, and that's its tefillah. Ki'at ravina Rabbi Yochanan, ba'umot alech achar azachar. General rule, when you talk about nations, the definition of somebody's nationality is defined by the father. if they convert, then you follow the most illegitimate side. Let's see what that is. How do we know that among nations that marry each other, the national identity is defined by the father? Because it says that that in the pasuk, the last pasuk on the page, from Bahar, that how do we know that if somebody from one of the other nations comes and has bia with one of the seven Canaan nation, a woman from them, that you may keep the child alive, and you're allowed to keep them as a slave. From the children of the people who live there. I might think even the opposite. If a Canaanite man has relations with, let's say, Kenizi or somebody outside of the land, that I might think I could keep them alive. What, the ones that gave birth in your land? Only ones who are born here, meaning that if the man is an outsider, then it follows the man. The woman who gave birth was here in the land, is one of the seven nations. In other words, the identity goes after the father. If they convert, then you follow the least legitimate side. What does that mean? If you have a Mitzri who married an Ammonite, the Gerim. My Pagum Shabishnaim Itba. What's the problem? After all, Ammoni v'lo Ammonit. She's not Pagum at all. Ella ba'Ammoni shenasa Mitzri. It must be an Ammoni who's prohibited who marries a Mitzri. Izacharave, if the child is a boy, then what do we do? Shadi about Ammoni. We call him an Ammoni, he can never marry in. In the Kevahave, if it's a girl, then what do we do? Shadi about a Mitzri. Then we call it a Mitzri, which means that at least for the first two generations, she can't marry in, and afterwards, the third generation may marry in. So we'll pick up at this point the next Mishnah and the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.